I'm gonna get that. All right. I'll make some announcements later on today. Let's go to Titus chapter 3, and we left off right here near the end in verse number 9 or 8. Let's just look at this. And the Apostle Paul writing to Titus. Everybody been around for a while, so you know what the book's all about. It's a pastoral epistle. And let's look at verse number 8. He said, "This is a faithful saying," and I won't comment much on this. "And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain what?" Yeah, there it is again. And these things are good and profitable. And the men, look at verse number 14, and we won't get that far, I don't believe, this morning. But notice what he says again, right near the end of the epistle, and Titus, Paul, exhorts Titus to put the people in mind to maintain good works and do good works. Look at verse 14. "And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses." Notice the last few words. "That they be not," "unfruitful." Now, I don't know. I would like to get that far this morning. God wants us to be fruitful. He says to Adam, he says, be fruitful and replenish. He says that to Noah. And right from the get-go in creation and after the fall of man, he wants us to be fruitful Christians, fruitful people. And I hope that you and I will keep that in mind. And that's why if we'll maintain and constantly, as the apostle Paul exhorts Titus to constantly affirm that they do good works, if we will learn good works, then I believe, and we will continue those good works to the end. I'll say this tonight. You know, Moses, if you look at Moses, he's 120 years old. When he dies, his natural force was not abated, and he worked all the way to the end. All the way to the end.
Yes, sir.
And I know this particular society that we live in today, that we all got to retire.
Right.
And we're working for our retirement. And that's fine and dandy, but you ought never retire from the Lord's work.
Right.
And from the things that the Lord has called us to, those good works. And never retire from that. No. And so look over, so go back here. People say, you know, when I resigned the church up there in Missoula, that you're retiring. I said, no, I'm just resigning the church. I'm not retiring from the Lord's work. By the grace of God. And so, Lord, we thank you for this day, this morning. And would you minister to our hearts through the word of God? We know you can, and you have done. And we trust that you will again. I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Paul says then in verse number 9, which we've already covered, a couple of things. I'm going to talk about a couple of things. Number one, in verse number 9, avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. And so we've already covered that, but let's just read verses 10 and 11. And so we can get what he's continuing to say. He says, "A man that is an heretic." And he said, "A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject." I'll explain that. On verse number 11, "Knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself." And then the rest of the chapter is kind of an ending to the epistle. But you got two things there. He says in verse number 11, avoid foolish questions. And then when there's a man that's an heretic, I'll explain that, give you a definition. After a couple of reproofs, gentle reproof, an admonition is a gentle reproof. you reject them. And so the temptation when dealing with men of that sort, or such men, is, and I've made this mistake a number of times, and, you know, I think I've learned by, you know, but the temptation is to stay with them in your attempt to turn them longer than you should. Yeah. I had that. I'll give you an example. I had a guy in my church years ago, and actually was a song leader, and he'd come from another Baptist church, and he came, and I didn't know it, but he didn't believe in the way we do communion or the Lord's Supper. He believed in clothes. It's only for the members of the church. And I don't believe the Bible teaches that. It's for any member of the body of Christ. In other words, if you're not a member here this morning, we have a Lord's Supper, but you're saved, you can participate. And so they have that belief. And so we had the Lord's Supper, and he didn't show up. And so I where were you? Well, he didn't believe that, okay? And so there were a number of other things. Tried to convince him, and he said, well, what do you want me to do, leave the church? And I said, no, I want you to get this thing right. There were a couple other issues besides that. And I said, no, I wish I would have said leave. Because when he left, I had 40 people, 45 people, and he took 15 of them. And so I admonished him. I tried to teach him, and I wanted to turn him. And I did just what I just told you. I fell to that temptation. Are you following me?
Yeah.
And so you got to be careful. Paul tells you to not even get started with those of verse number 9. Notice what he says. But avoid. Okay. So don't even get started. Foolish questions. And genealogies, and contentions, and strivings about the law. For they are unprofitable and vain. You're getting nowhere. It's just a bunch of arguing and debating and strifes and contentions. But then the second group, he says you're to treat them as a heretic. And don't even get started with that group. The first group. And the second group, you have to examine them and give them that admonition. But when they are, then you have to reject them. And it has to be swift. It has to be deciphered, not like church discipline. When you go to the guy and talk to him and then doesn't listen, then you take somebody else with you. And are you with me? And then go before the church. So notice in verse number 10, he says, a man that is an heretic. Heretic is, by definition, it's a choice, a chosen course of procedure varying from the Scripture. I put in my Bible a long time ago, someone that gave me, probably my pastor, which is very simple, an opinion contrary to the Scripture. Okay? Elaborate on the definition. An heretic is one who has gone beyond the realm of foolish questions and uses such to divide the body and draw disciples after them. Look over here to Acts chapter 20. I said that second definition is an heretic is one who has gone beyond the realm of foolish questions and uses those things that he's questioning, which are unprofitable and vain, to divide the body and draw disciples after him or themselves and what they believe. Look at Acts chapter 20, and Paul warns of this. And he knew it, and it was happening in his day right away. You know that. Look at Acts chapter 20, and he's given this his farewell address, we call it, to the Ephesians elder, and he says in verse number 26, he says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. That's the word of God. And he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, and to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Verse number 29. For I know, here you go. For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in, say it, among you, not sparing the flock. Look, they'll come on in. Hold your place right there and go over here to Jude. Just comes to my mind here. Jude. So he says, I know after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. The book of Jude, last book of the New Testament before the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second coming of Christ, and the conditions that will prevail upon earth. But notice he says in verse number 3, he said, Beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful. Verse 3, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should, what? Earnestly contend for the faith. Now, that's the right contending, okay? And he says, which was once delivered to the saints. And I put up at the end of that verse, I wrote with my little Pigma pen, why? So he tells you, for there are certain men which crept in unawares, who were before of God ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. And of course, that's what's going on today. And he says, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So there are certain men crept in, and so they're creeps, and they creep in, and they will creep in. They'll creep into this church. I'm sure you've had them over time. You've had them to bring in some pernicious doctrines, some heretical teachings. Go back here to Acts chapter 20 then. Acts chapter 20. He says, I know in verse number 29 that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. In other words, verse number 30. Also of, what?
Your own selves.
I'm just going to put out this caution sign. Be careful what you read, and be careful what you go on that stinking internet and get. And I'm saying stinking internet. I'm upset with that thing. Amen. Because it's produced a lot of confusion in the church and brought in a lot of heresies into the church. Notice he says, he said, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse, twisted. That's twisted. That homosexual crowd, they're twisted. So they're perverts. They've twisted. And they twist things. And what are they doing? They're twisting the scriptures. He talks about those that wrest the scriptures over in Peter. And notice to draw away disciples after them. That's a heretic. Go back here to Titus. And let's continue on. He said, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition. An admonition is simply, by definition again, and teaching the Bible, and you give definitions. And a lot of the words that are in the Bible, people hardly ever read. You know, they're not familiar with them. Like even saved. I remember I used to work with a gal at the Seattle Times, and I talk about somebody getting saved at our church. And she was a Lutheran, but she was a saved Lutheran. But just didn't know it, kind of like. And I talked about, well, we had some people saved at our church. And she said, saved? And this is an elderly lady. I mean, a gal that was, you know, what? Well, elderly. I guess I was 30. She was about 45 or something. whatever, but didn't know what saved meant. Whoa, see, so you have to give definitions. Admonition is when you notify of a fault. An admonition, as I said earlier, is a gentle reproof. An admonition is a warning, a warning. I read a story just recently, just a little quip, about a preacher, and someone told him the story of another pastor that had been an evangelical, but he got reading the wrong stuff and was building a building, but that man had fallen away from the faith and started denying the blood atonement and the deity of Jesus Christ. While they were building his new building, some guy, some worker, put a sign and said, "Danger, keep out." And the guy said, "Of course, come." That's what ought to be put on, put in front of every church that claims to be evangelical or claims to be a Christian church, but denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, denies the blood atonement, denies and is a critical of the inspiration of the scriptures. And so he says here in verse number 10, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition. Admonition is a warning and it's a reproof. Now there are two kind. You're going to get a couple kind of heretics that have opinions contrary to the truth. And that would be to bring it down to where contemporary be like the Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe in the blood atonement. Yeah. And their New World Translation shows that and takes verses out and twists scripture and to substantiate what they believe. We form our doctrine on what the Bible says, and we don't make our doctrine and then try to find it in the Bible. Or get verses in the Bible and twist verses to substantiate. Are you with me? And so that would be, LDS is the same. And by the way, those that deny these things will call us heretics. Go over here to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. That's what the Roman Catholic Church used to call us. Come on. Used to call us heretics. And of course, they burned people at the stake. And people don't know that. Most people don't know that. And now they call us separated brethren. You see, that's a little nicer. You know, it doesn't sound like they're, you know, such a bad group. You know, they're just separated. They're just poor people, the poor Protestants and the Baptists. They just don't know enough like we do and all of that. Look over to Acts chapter 24. The Apostle Paul is before, who's he before here? Let's see, who's he before?
Felix.
Who?
Felix.
Felix, gotcha. Yeah, Felix, right. And Felix, and he's defending himself, and the Jews have come down. And are accusing him that he's a heretic. Notice verse number verse number 14, and notice what he says. But after this, or said, but this I confess unto thee. Well, let's just look here in verse number 12. He said, they neither found me, the Jews, religious leaders, in the temple disrupting any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogue, nor in the city, nor can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. And so all these accusations is they can't prove those things. But this I do confess, verse number 14, this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. And so you ought to just get ready to be called one, you know, and you're a cult by what you believe. And that's what they use. That's the term they use today. They don't use that term the world. They'll call you a cult instead. Go back here to Titus chapter 3. So there's two types, and the lost people, and then there are saved Christians within the body that can be heretical. Look over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, which was and he corrects them in just about every chapter about something. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when he gets to some divisions that this church had regarding the Lord's Supper, and has to correct them on that. And he says in verse number 17, "On this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse." I'm not praising you about that. You're coming, you ought to be coming together for the better. Amen, for the good. Verse 18, "But first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions." God hates it. And he said, "There be divisions among you." And he says, "I partly believe it, because you're a pretty carnal group. You've messed up on a number of other things." And he says, I partly believe it. No, verse number 49, excuse me, verse number 19. "For there must be also," what?
Heresies.
Heresies. There are going to be heresies in a church. And he says, but why? "Among you." We've seen that term before. "That they which are approved," those that are telling the truth, "may be made manifest unto you." In other words, you got the truth tellers and you got the false teachers, okay? And they must be, and you lay them together beside one another. And, you know, it's the spirit of truth versus the spirit of error. And you can find out, judging by the scriptures, who's telling the truth. And that's the best thing to do, is lay, there must be heresies, that they which are approved, the ones that are telling the truth, may be approved among you. And so you can find out who is. It's just like the way you find something out. If I had a handful of diamonds here, and I want to see those, if I throw them out on a white cloth, you're not going to see them very much. Put them out on a black cloth, they're going to show up pretty good. And so he said, there must be heresies, that they which are approved. So there's going to be heresies in the body of Christ. Which would that be? Well, that would be those that are thinking that the apostolic signs are for today. Healing. Not that God doesn't heal, but it doesn't use healers. Hello. And speaking in tongues and miracle workers and God, miraculously putting gold teeth in your mouth and going around barking like a dog, and that's of the Spirit type of stuff like there. And you got that. You got the Calvinists, the scholars with the perversions of the scriptures. And so within a local church, I want to read this to you. Within a local church, the heretics will take one portion of the overall teaching of Scripture and gather to himself a little band of followers to that one point. And that'll bust up, of course, the unity of the local church when that person holds to that position stubbornly or obstinately. I want to show you one more verse about this and we'll move on. Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5. I believe that we ought to rightly divide the word of truth. We call it dispensations. Boy, I had a guy one time. Well, you get a lot of people. You start a church and you get all kind of birds. And he didn't believe that. And I showed him over. And he's a good man. Good man. I won his wife to the Lord. That's when he came to my church. He came to my office and, claimed to be he became a soul winner himself. But He didn't believe in it. He studied. He went to the. He was a good student. Studied and studied and studied to prove that this was wrong, and just never could get it across to him. And notice Galatians. I showed him this. Galatians chapter 5. Notice verse number 19. He said, "Now the works of the what? Are what? They're manifold, manifest. That means they're revealed. Which are these? What are they? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness." Now you understand all those are kind of, sensual type sins. And then he says idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, and that's dissension, and emulation, rivalries, witchcraft, wrath, strife, seditions, what?
Heresy.
So a heresy is a work of the flesh. Plain and simple. And he says, envy and murdering is drunkenness, of course. All right, go back here to Titus. Just wanted to show you that. Now notice what he goes on to say. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. And you try them, of course. The Bible says try the spirits, whether they be of God. You mark them. He says mark them that cause divisions. You rebuke them. Look over here at chapter 1. Number of things that you do in these days of confusion and compromise and on their positions toward the Word of God. Look at Titus chapter 1 and look at verse number 13 right off the get-go. Over there in Crete, where Titus was the pastor, he said, "This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." So you have to rebuke them. Now, the Bible says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." We are to withdraw from them. You're to turn away from them. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go there. It's just one book over to the left. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So it's to keep the church clean and keep the church pure and free of false doctrine. Look over here to 2 Timothy chapter 3 when he talks about the last days. He says in verse number 5, and just after a pretty rough group, he says, and verse number 5, he says, having a form of godliness. Okay, clean life. Amen. Got the right haircut. You know, wear the right clothes. Amen. And but having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So you turn away from some. I'm going over and over. Everything I gave you, try them, mark them, rebuke them, have no fellowship with, withdraw thyself, turn away from them, receive them not. Look at 2 John chapter 2 John, over to the right, right near the end of your Bible, 2 John chapter, chapter 1, there's only one chapter. Notice he says, verse number 8, he said, "Look to yourselves that we," look at verse 7 is what I want you to see. "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh." God manifests in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Notice what he says. "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, the things that you've worked for in your Christian life, and some rewards that you may get, but that we receive a full reward." Verse 9. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son." Now look at verse number 10. "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is there come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." So that's another admonition. Don't receive them. Have no company with them, it says in 2 Thessalonians, and then, of course, right here, we're in Titus chapter 3, reject them. I can give you scripture on all of those that I just gave you that I didn't turn to. Notice verse number 11, moving on. And he says at the end of verse number 10, there's no period. So the thought is continued. He says, knowing that he that is such, the heretic, is subverted. Okay? That means he's under something, sub. He himself is under something, under deception, in bondage to something that he can't get free of. Although you can get free of any bondage, anything that bonds you or ties you to that which is false. I've seen heretics get right. People that have other teachings. You've seen that, and they got it right. He says, but knowing that he is such, he's under something. He's controlled and corrupted by something or somebody else. Notice what it says. It says, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. So his own heart convicts him that he's wrong. Reject, he says. Refuse to receive. Forsake them. All right. So that's how you do it with a heretic. We could give more on that. He's subverted, he's ruined, he's been overthrown, his mind's twisted. You don't accept him. And because what they have can be contagious, especially to a weak believer. And then one that is not well-versed or grounded in the Scripture. All right. The Apostle Paul then finishes this letter. And he names some people, and he does that in a number of his epistles. You read in Romans chapter 16. Go there once, real quick. Romans chapter 16. He does that in a number of epistles. He does it off the top of my mind. He does it in 1 Corinthians. He does it not in Galatians. He does it in Ephesians. We'll look at that because one of the many is listed here. They're in the Word of God, and there's some people that helped him. And he does it in Colossians, he does it. And then he does it in 2 Timothy again. And so he mentions people. Notice Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter, oh, that's the other Bible I got. Oh boy. You know, you ought to look at that thing and go over it, because there's 35 people mentioned by name. I highlighted them in the other Bible, and they're not in this one, but, I mean, look at verse number 1. I commend you unto Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria. And he said, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. And so don't discount these last, the end of a letter. You know, you get a letter from somebody and said, you know, love you, thank you, praying for you, you know, hope you're doing well. They signed it. But there's some real instruction on this. And you can learn about a lot of the people that helped the Apostle Paul and helped the work of Christ. Because I'll just read a few verses. That you receive her in the Lord, verse number two, as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of. For she hath been a succorer, a helper of many, and of myself also. And he says, so I'm commending her to you. I'm sending her over there to you. She's right there. And he says, help her out. Look at verse number 3. And then greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. So some way, shape, or form, they had something to do to spare. Maybe warn the Apostle Paul when the Jews were hot on his trail, you know, and maybe put themselves in the way. I don't know what exactly that was, but I thank him too, and all the churches. So don't discount these last words that the Apostle Paul says. And so notice what he says in verse number 12 back here. There's four men. I want to take and look at them a little bit. There's four of these men. And he said, when I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Now you look on a map, and there's a couple of Nicopolises. And one of them is over down in Palestine. And it looks like at the end, the postscript of this letter here, look at the postscript. This was written to Titus, ordained the first bishop of the Church of the Cretans from Nicopolis. So that's in Macedonia, it says. Macedonia is Greece. And Nicopolis is down there, if you look on a map, and you'll see Corinth down there, and that harbor down there, and kind of go around the corner and into the Adriatic Sea, which is borders the backside of the Italy boot. And you go up the coast a little bit, and so and that's where Nicopolis is. And it looks like that's where he wants to go winter. It's on the west coast. And that's a good place to go, I guess, to winter. I wouldn't go to California, but and Oregon has a nice west coast. I don't want to go to Seattle either. I'd rather go southwest. I'd like to go to Acapulco. Go to Mexico. I'd rather go down to, actually, I'd rather go to Puerto Vallarta. And that's further south and west, of course. But that's, he said, I'm going to go over there. That's where I'm going to, I'm going to winter down there. So what he's going to do in verse number 12, he says, I'm going to send Artemas, and that's the only time you see his name in the scripture, Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus. And so I'm going to send them. And then he says this, be diligent to come unto me. And so in other words, I'm replacing you. Okay? I want you to come down and help me. And I'm going to send either Artemas or Tychicus to take your place. Notice he says, when I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me. You get, you know, once they get there, you come on down there. I'm going to winter down there, and I need some help. I'm Paul the aged. Old men need help. Amen. And so you got Tychicus. Go over here to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Now, he's just not going to send any Tom, Dick, or Harry down there. You know, he's going to send somebody that's seasoned. I'm not going to send a rookie down there. And he says, I'm going to send either Artemas. Don't know, like I said, that's all I know about Artemas. But Tychicus, we know a little bit about. Look at Acts chapter 20. There's nothing wrong with that. Go down and help him. And help an old man out. And notice in verse number, Paul and telling over there, he went into Greece, and to verse number 2, there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, friend, they weren't not with open arms. As he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to go through Macedonia, and there accompanied him into Asia. He's got his little entourage. Is that what you call it? Yeah, there you go. And he says, Sopater of Berea, Paul had been up there, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, he'd been there, Thessalonian, Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, we know he was there, and Timotheus, and of Derbe, and Timotheus, that's where probably Timothy got saved, and of Asia, here he is, Tychica. Okay, over from Ephesus in that area. So that's where he first picked them up. Now notice, we'll go back over here to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Tychicus is a faithful man. And he goes with the Apostle Paul. And I don't know, this is about 10 years later. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. And notice what he says in verse number 21. And Paul's in prison, and he said, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and what?
Faithful
minister in the Lord. Doesn't say that he's a preacher or anything or a pastor, but I think that's obviously in Titus, that's what he's doing. He's sending Tychicus down there to replace Pastor Titus. So he's come to that point. But up to that point, and I'm sure even after, and Paul counted him a faithful minister. I can depend upon him. And he's a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. In other words, he's a messenger boy. And he'll tell you how I'm doing and all things that are going on and what things God has given to me. Things like that. Notice the postscript on this epistle written from Rome under the Ephesians by, are you there? Are you here? Tychicus. Now go over here to Colossians. These are good guys to have around. You know, they got saved and they hang around the Apostle Paul, hang around the church, you might say. I'm going down, Lord willing, to Pensacola next week, and I'm looking forward to seeing a kid that was in our church in Missoula. That kid came to our church, and man, he was suicidal. And him and a buddy came. I've told you this story before. And he was a hippie. He was just a mess. And he came and to help his buddy, the buddy brought him because this guy, Joseph, was suicidal. Well, Joseph got saved. And the buddy committed suicide. Crazy, man. Crazy. And he's down at Bible school. He's in his third year of Bible school. When he started coming to church over there, he could hardly read, it seemed. And now I can't wait to see him. But you know what he did? When I'd go over there, after I came down here, I'd go over there to Missoula, of course, every once in a while. And I'd go to the church, and he's upstairs. And he was working part-time doing some snow shoveling and lawn mowing. And he's up there studying and just being a little errand boy for Josh. Good works. Just doing something. It's good to have them around. And he proved himself very faithful and dependable. It took a while, boy, to hammer some stuff out of him. And Josh can do it. And so it's good to have people around like Joseph and Tychicus. Look over here to Colossians. I'm almost done. Colossians. And look at Colossians. Where is that? Yeah. Over in Timothy, when he gives the end, I just saw this on the way over, and that he sent Tychicus to Ephesus. But notice back here to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. And I love reading the Pauline epistles. I like the pastoral epistles. There's so much instruction in there. Just find out about the work of God and the people of God and the things going on. You get all the good, solid doctrine over in Romans, but just moving on, look at Colossians chapter 4. Paul started churches, and he dealt with many, many people. Boy, he had a lot of people that he met and dealt with. Colossians chapter 4, and look at verse number 7. He said, all my state, my condition, shall Tychicus declare unto you. And here he says it again, but he adds something. He said, who was a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant. Fellow servant. In the trenches together. A servant. We could all be servants. Amen? And he said, and fellow servant, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he may know your estate and comfort your hearts. So he had a lot of confidence in him that he could go and help these people out. No wonder he sent them down there to replace Timothy or Titus, and Crete was a real rough place to pastor. Needed a faithful guy down there, but a guy that not only was merciful, but also could give him the truth. A balance. Are you here? Lord, we thank you for the word of God. And Lord, every word of God is pure.